When we think of monsters, there's a very clear image that comes to mind. Sure, it may not be the same for everyone, but it's palpable. We all have our own vision when it comes to beasts that are so horrifically larger than life. For some, it's a creature of mythic proportions, one that has haunted our nightmares since we were children. For others, this monster is a bit more familiar, its shape oddly human, its mind shrouded by evil in darkness. Now, regardless of what that image may be, most of us hope that it stays locked away inside our twisted imaginations, that we'll never have to face the monster lurking under the bed, never forced to reconcile with the inhuman nature of the human mind. And yet, there are some who lean into this monster mania, who not only believe that these creatures exist, but also find them alluring. Which means that people like me, who might be a bit skeptical, but want so badly to be mystified by something greater than ourselves, are sort of caught in the middle. Okay, so a cryptid probably isn't the image that came to mind for many of you. But at least from where I'm standing, that's about as close as you can get to a beast of this magnitude. I mean, a Yeti, a Sasquatch, even the fan-favorite Mothman. It all seems a bit monstrous, don't you think? Now, at this point in our friendship, you guys are well aware how skeptical I am when it comes to cryptozoology. But like I said, I would love nothing more than to be mystified by a real-world monster, so long as I can do so from a distance. So let's examine the evidence and see if we can't find something mystical hiding out in the hills of the American West. And hey, by the time we're done, maybe I'll know if these creatures are anything more than a collection of blurry photographs. I'm Courtney Hayes, and you're listening to Haunts. Stay tuned. Before we really get into it, I'd like to give credit where it's due. Over the last few weeks, I've been binging the most recent season of the Paranormal podcast, which is focusing on the hunt for the elusive Bigfoot. I know, that might sound a bit out of character for me, but being that this is one of my favorite podcasts, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to learn more about the spectacle that is Sasquatch. And in doing so, I was surprised to find that some of the leading experts when it comes to this particular cryptid started out exactly where I'm standing now, as skeptics. At least in the beginning, they were bound by the facts and their own journalistic integrity, which, speaking from personal experience, can cloud the judgment a bit. Don't worry, I'll have the Paranorm Girl podcast linked in today's show notes, just in case you want to learn more about the Four Horsemen of Sasquatchery. But for now, I'll just say that I found the work of these four men to be absolutely inspiring. I mean, if this ragtag group of journalists and scientists can go from staunch skeptics to avid believers, then maybe there's still some hope left for the rest of us. Which, of course, brings us to the subject of this week's episode. Actually, to a cousin of Bigfoot, said to be lurking through the trees in the Mogollon Rim of Arizona, the likes of which may just prove that the work of these cryptozoologists is more credible than we may think. Amidst the arid backdrop of Arizona's desert climate sits a sprawling oasis of ponderosa pines. No doubt, this region is widely popular among outdoor enthusiasts, with a myriad of hiking trails and campgrounds for visitors to enjoy. Of course, that isn't the only reason why the Mogollon Rim is so highly trafficked. And for what it's worth, They say that hikers aren't the only ones trekking along those trails. You see, spanning across the last century or so, numerous rumors of a monster, complete with otherworldly strength and inhuman stature, have made their rounds throughout Arizona. They say that it's a bipedal creature, standing over 7 feet tall, with large red eyes and fur as black as night. Those who have encountered the beast say that it walks with wide, animalistic strides, often leaving behind massive footprints, measuring roughly 22 inches from toe to heel. I know, that's quite the mental image. But perhaps what makes this creature even more frightening are the characteristics that we can't see. A handful of encounters, for instance, indicate that the beast is nocturnal and often violent, especially when it feels as though its territory is being threatened, which means that you do not, under any circumstances, want to stumble upon its nesting grounds after dark. But let's say for a moment that you did find yourself in the midst of what cryptozoologists have dubbed the Mogollon Monster. What happens then? And for that matter, what are the warning signs you should be looking out for? Well, for one, many say that the beast comes with a pungent odor, something akin to dead fish, or as one report so eloquently described it, a skunk with bad body odor. What's more is that encounters with this creature are often preceded by a chilling silence, one that's accompanied by an eerie stillness in a forest that should, by all means, be teeming with life. It's the calm before the storm, an unsettling sort of peace that surrounds you in the darkness, all before the Mogollon Monster emits a blood-curdling and anguished cry. I know, this description may seem a bit far-fetched to the more skeptical among us. And honestly, I'm right there with you. But the proof, as they say, is in the pudding. So let's continue on this trek through the Mogollon Rim by discussing some of the more notable sightings of this monster throughout history. According to one of my sources, at least, reports of the Mogollon Monster date as far back as the colonial era. But as near as I can tell, the first documented encounter with the beast took place in 1903. The incident itself was reported in that year's edition of the Arizona Republican, where I.W. Stevens wrote of a beast seen just north of the rim near the Grand Canyon. In the article, Stevens stated that the creature sported white hair, a long matted beard, and talon-like claws that were at least 2 inches in length. Okay, I know what many of you are probably thinking. Courtney, that doesn't sound anything at all like the monster you just described. For one, this creature had white hair, not black, and it wasn't even seen inside of the Mogollon Rim. It's a fair point to make. I mean, when you put it that way, it's plain to see that these descriptions don't exactly add up. But even still, there's a fair few who believe that this creature and the Mogollon Monster are one and the same, which is likely due to the claim that Stevens made later on in the article, stating that when he attempted to approach the creature, it bellowed an earth-shattering and otherworldly screech, not unlike the one that's so often attributed to the Mogollon Monster. Okay, I'll be the first to admit that Stevens' story, while certainly chilling enough in its own right, doesn't exactly hit the nail on the head when it comes to this particular cryptid. I mean, is it possible that he saw something strange and beastly out in the far reaches of the Grand Canyon? Absolutely, but that doesn't change the fact that his accounts don't necessarily line up with the later reports of the Mogollon Monster. Now, I don't want to discredit his story entirely, even if it is a tough pill to swallow. But if you are feeling a bit skeptical when it comes to this monster as a whole, well then, maybe this next encounter will carry a bit more weight. It was the mid-1940s, when cryptozoologist Don Davis took a camping trip out to the Mogollon Rim. Of course, at the time, Davis hadn't yet embarked on his career in the space of cryptozoology. In fact, he was only a teenager, out on a camping trip with his Boy Scout troop. The group had set up camp not too far from Tonto Creek, near Payson, a small town situated on the southern edge of the rim. It was there where a rustling noise awoke Dawn in the night. Now this wasn't any ordinary nature sound. It wasn't the wind or any sort of small woodland creature. In fact, if Dawn didn't know any better, it seemed as though this sound was coming from inside the tent. Almost as if something or someone was going through their belongings. So Dawn called out to the noisemaker, honestly thinking that it had to have been one of his fellow campers. But the response he got in return had been more than a bit of a shock. There, now towering above his sleeping bag, was a colossal, man-like beast. It was bipedal, with an expressionless face and deep-set eyes. It was a frightening view, especially for a 13-year-old boy. But what was most disturbing was the stench radiating from the creature. It was a pungent odor that left Dawn wondering what on earth this creature could be. Now, if Dawn Davis's story is the most cited of any encounter with the Mogollon monster, then the most consistent are the accounts of Marjorie Grimes, a White River local who allegedly encountered the beast on multiple occasions between 1982 and 2004. According to Grimes, the creature was tall, inhumanly so, walking with a wide gait that shocked Marjorie every time she saw it. In fact, on one occasion, she was driving along the road outside of town on the Fort Apache Reservation, when an encounter with the creature forced her to slam on the brakes. Within a matter of seconds, Marjorie was throwing the car into park and racing back to the spot where she saw the monster striding through the trees, only to find that it had already disappeared within the grove of ponderosa pines. Now, Marjorie Grimes isn't the only member of the Apache Nation to have experiences with the Mogollon monster, with one White River local stating back in 2006, quote, "There have been more sightings than ever before. It cannot be ignored any longer," end quote. Of course, with a statement like that, tribal police have their work cut out for them when it comes to reports made about the Mogollon monster, even having to screen calls from visibly terrified locals who actually claim that the creature is stalking them from outside their windows. At least in my opinion, that last little tidbit might be the most frightening aspect of this entire story. I mean, if we aren't safe in our own homes, then how could we ever expect to be safe out on the rim? Well, the skeptic in me says that it's probably nothing to worry about anyways. After all, a number of my sources are quite adamant that the Mogollon monster is nothing more than a work of fiction. That the stories I've just shared with you, while fairly compelling, aren't hard evidence, but rather a bit of local lore. Sure, that's definitely the most logical explanation. But just in case there is some sort of Bigfoot-like monster lurking somewhere in the woods out in the Mogollon Rim, I'd like to end today's episode by sharing a few tips and tricks that may just come in handy should you come face to face with such a beast. Number 1. Avoid making eye contact with the Mogollon monster. Not that you would want to anyways, because direct eye contact will often cause the creature to react in an unpredictable manner. Number 2. Try to the best of your ability to appear less threatening. Ideally, if you can, by impersonating a small, non-aggressive animal. Sure, you might feel silly, but at least this way you can hide in plain sight. Number 3. Should you be spotted, do not, under any circumstances, flee the area. as the Magian monster is known to run at great speeds, even as fast as 40 miles per hour. And last, but certainly not least, number 4 is just a friendly word of advice. If, for whatever reason, you decide to go looking for the Magian monster, just do yourself a favor and keep your wits about you. This episode of Haunts was written and produced by me, Courtney Hayes. If you've been enjoying the show so far, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review. A lot of work goes into each episode, and reviewing the show really helps us reach more listeners each week. Also, if you're interested in learning more about this week's topic, I greatly encourage you to check out the show notes section at hauntscast.com. This is the location where I share my sources and provide any visual aid that may be referenced during the show. While you're there, make sure to follow us on social media at HauntsCast, and don't forget to stick around to the end of the episode for this week's podcast recommendations. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, happy haunting.
As the moonlight pierces through the dark, paranormal enthusiast and best friends, Farrah and Courtney venture deep into the woods, armed with flashlights and a sense of adventure.
Farrah, are you sure this is a good idea?
Sure, I'm sure. We're paranormal investigators. We're not scared of any ghosts.
What was that?
Probably some animals. Oh my God. My flashlight is going out.
Following the chilling sounds, the two stumble upon an abandoned and haunted building, its dark silhouette looming over them.
Look, there it is. The abandoned radio station. It's supposed to be mad haunted.
Let's be careful. We don't know what's inside.
Wow, look at this place.
A long growl is heard coming from behind the girls. They turn around slowly, and to their surprise, a zombie is standing in front of them dressed to the nines, wearing a 70s bell-bottom hot pink and purple leisure suit.
Who are you pasty-looking females, and what the heck are you doing in here?
Who are you calling pasty? Nice suit. Did you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe, or did John Travolta have a yard sale?
Sorry about that. We didn't mean any harm. We're just curious about this place.
Curious, huh? Well, come with me. I got something to show you.
And as they wander deeper into the building, they uncover vintage studio equipment covered in dust and decay.
Farrah, you were looking for a new place to set up your podcast, right?
And this is it?
Whoa there, sweet cheeks.
No, don't worry. We'll make it worth your while. We love the strange and unexplained phenomena, true crime, macabre, and the sinister. And hey, you'd be a great touch to the show. Maybe be an announcer for us as well.
That does sound stellar. I'm in.
A few minutes later, 12 seconds later, 3 weeks later, many months later.
Okay, we're rolling. Welcome to Studio Sinister Podcast,
where we explore stories that haunt us all.
And then we'll go make a fresh kill to celebrate.
Dawn.
Just kidding.
Join Farrah, Courtney, and Dawn the Zombie on the 1st, 10th, and 20th of every month for some rad, chilling stories.
And if you piss your pants, that's your problem.
Come embrace the haunt. See you soon, Sinister Seekers.
Hello, my spooky friends. This is your host, John, from Dairyland Frights, the paranormal podcast that covers everything spooky, creepy, and mysterious in the Midwest.
This is actually John. I hope my spooky voice scared you. And in this podcast, we're going to have creepy guests and spooky tales and mysterious sightings of cryptids, UFOs, ghosts, and everything paranormal. So tune in if you dare to be scared.